Yes.
Okay, I think I'll go for it. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to this Fulham Council meeting on Monday the 22nd of April. So we'll kick off with item PC 20. We'll kick off with item PC 22624 to receive and approve apologies for absence.
Received apologies from Councillor Davies, Campbell, Hart, and Joseph. Also sent his apologies. If acceptable.
Okay, so if acceptable, please, can I have someone to ask Councillor Paul Murray? Secondly, please. Councillor Barnes, all those in favour. That is okay. Thank you. Item PC 22724 is receiving declarations of interest and dispensations. I assume there are.
Yeah, received declaration of interest from Councillors Kilmurray and Travis on items PC 23324B and PC 23824A through in the granted.
Okay, thank you. Right, moving on, public participation, item PC 22824. We have no members of the public hiding behind the screen, so we will move on to PC 22924 to approve the minutes of the Parish Council meeting held on the 25th of March. Clark, did you receive any amendments or requests for changes, etc.? If that's the case, no comments now. Can I have a proposal, please, to accept those minutes? That's Councillor Travis, seconded. Councillor Cowley, all those in favour? And again, that is unanimous carried. Thank you. Item PC 23024, to report back on the minutes of the Parish Council meeting held on the 25th of March. Clark, have you anything to report back?
The only thing to report is a clerical error on the officer's part and changing the formation of how we're numbering the items. We use the calendar year rather than the civic year. Apologies. So we're now moving to meeting type, so PC, item number, and then calendar year, because we can't change it now. Well, we will double up, so apologies.
Okay. And just for the record, would you like us to vote on that?
No. Okay.
May I just ask, why don't we do PC year slash item number? Which seems to me much more logical, and then if you wanted, you could revert to that system from the new civic year, should you wish to, because you could do PC24/item number.
I just thought this was the easiest.
Yeah, but for now. I've always wondered why we do it this way around, and I wondered if there was a particular reason, because it means you can't order things. If you had a list of all your items, like that you've ever done, and you tried to list them numerically, you'd get PC1/20, PC1/21, PC1/22, and then you'd 23, 24, and then you'd get PC2/20, 21. So they'd all be kind of interwoven. Because if you did year/item, and you just listed everything numerically, it would all just work.
I think the office can take that.
it's just a suggestion. It's bugged me for many, many a year. I just thought now was an opportunity to
It's just a historic way of doing it. It's been done that way.
Well, it's always been done.
It'll be done that way.
With no reason not to change it.
Okay, thank you for that observation. Yeah, I think it's down to the office, if the office would want to put that under review. Chair's announcements, nothing this time around. Item PC 23124, moving on to PC 23224 to receive reports from district and county councillors or Melbourne. I will pass over to our county councillor.
Thank you, Chair. It's very handy that you put this report on the screen. I just hand it on my phone. So I'll just whiz through it. I think last time the report mentioned that we were going to be meeting with NK Water, and also that we do an annual flood avoidance tour in some villages, and I'm thinking we really ought to introduce that in Melbourne if the Parish Council would like to do that. It just means spending a couple of hours once a year with our our drainage officers touring, and what has been so useful to come out of the investigations into a possible kind of historic pond, which is probably just going to be a reference point, is that we need to get the officers down to Back Lane and London Way in that area to look at the source of the problem. So that was on my mind to follow up from last month, because I'm sorry I wasn't here last month. I'm meeting them tomorrow to look at drains in Meldrith, and particularly along the A10 where floods under the underpass. And the farmer has found some blockages on the county system that we don't see every day, so we're going to go and see them tomorrow. So that's the kind of thing we do. One or two amateurs and then the professionals. so we met with Anglian Water, and thank you again, Councillor Travis, for joining us on that meeting, one of our water issues. One of the actions that's come out of that is how difficult it is for residents to report if they have an emergency, a foul water backup. If there's an incident going on, then the Anglian Water systems are overwhelmed in terms of their communications as well as their water systems. So they're going to look at trialing a new way of residents getting in touch using a cohort of residents in Meldrith who are unlucky enough to be badly affected continually in one small area. So that's part of the action happening with Anglian Water. And we've also got a riparian ownership template letter to parish councils should they wish to disseminate that in some way to households that have riparian responsibility, i.e. property along the water course. Moving straight along, Cambridge South Station. The station is due to open next year.
Yeah.
Our community rail partnership is actually thinking about it in terms of the fact that those going to sixth form in that part of Cambridge may be able to start using our rail discount to get to Cambridge South Station as soon as a year from September. So it's that close. But meanwhile, we were not sure that there would be a direct service from our stations to Cambridge South, because there wasn't necessarily going to be room in the complicated timetable. But we've had confirmation, we have been lobbying for it, and that's one of the things the Community Rail Partnership does, that we're going to have that. So it's really good news. East-West Rail, there's sort of new action on that front. I'm not up to date on what it is yet, but I'm hoping to go along to one of these sessions that they're offering next month to find out. So that'll be important. I'm sure when it gets closer, it will feel like it matters a lot. District Council Zero Carbon Communities Grant, now is the time to put an application in. I don't know if Melbourne Parish Council is thinking about anything.
Susan, the pavilion, Melbourne Pavilion, arguably could do with a kitchen refit. Is that something that would be
That's really interesting.
Within the scope, do you think?
So, I think if you scroll down a tiny bit, there's a workshop, 24th of April, which is handy. That's Wednesday. Or there is an email address. You could talk this through with somebody.
All right.
Oh, go for it. Why not? I mean, at least find out more.
Yeah.
The retrofit, building retrofit
I wasn't aware of that in the past, so...
It seems to comply with that description.
Yeah. I think I'm putting more money into that this coming year, so there'll be more to go, right? Mm-hmm. Applications are due June 2nd. That's the only thing.
The full application?
It's not that hard. I've done an application before.
Yeah, okay. The project would need to be costed. Which would be hard to do in the time.
Again, I think that you'll get some good advice from the officers on how simple you can keep the application.
Yeah, we can ask for advice.
Yeah.
Thank you, Councillor Johnson.
Then this is really just an alert that, as it says here, government is going to support councils to introduce weekly food waste collections by a couple of years from now. We'll see if that happens. So we don't know when it's going to happen for salad cabs, but that'll be another era in the recycling train that we've had. And then we put some information there on evaluation of this agency. We have had a couple of queries come up through casework, and this information was shared with us by the chief exec in her weekly sort of news to share with parish councils. There's often confusion as to whether this is actually the district council's responsibility, since it issues the council tax bills, but it isn't. It's an independent agency, an agency independent of the district council. And then the next one is really there for the record. It just is to update on what government is saying about Cambridge 2050. I thought it was 41st, now it's 50, but whatever it is now, the expansion plans for Cambridge. I think the thinking is that whatever the outcome of the general election, it's likely to be an aspiration that remains on the table, because the economy of Cambridge is considered to be nationally important. And it's really challenging, because even now, without that, even the local plan obligations we have, we're struggling, are struggling due to water scarcity and public transport. So actually the next local plan, all the work that's been going on around that, and it is a process over years, it is actually delayed because of the water and transport issues. But there is a point of contact there, Peter Freeman, who does meet with our council leader, the city council leader. But the concern is that eventually this will be part of a development corporation that excludes the local planning authorities. So it kind of takes over. Don't worry. The last one was simply...
There's 150,000. Is this going to be sort of within Cambridge, or is this going to subsume multiple South Cambs villages into one big conurbation?
They're not saying, but logic would dictate that it's the Cambridge area and the Cambridge name. So I attended a sort of early business planning meeting with the county council today, and they were sharing the growth rates of Cambridge, South Cams, and then the other districts. Growth rate of Cambridge has been phenomenal, but there isn't that much room to grow anymore. And the growth rate in South Cams is creeping up, and it'll become, as you say, the inevitable area. Although it sits now in a local plan structure, which is its protection.
Not if you're saying that this is going to be hived off to somebody outside the...
Well, yes, exactly. I mean, now, it's protected within the local plan structure. But I've heard St. Neots come up in that Cambridge 2050 vision. Yeah, that's quite a ways away. Mm. So it's completely unclear.
Excellent.
And then the last one, I think, on the report is just a little blurb about the County Council putting money into Cambridgeshire Local Assistance Scheme. I don't know if you're familiar with the scheme or not, but it offers very, very practical support to households in financial difficulty, and they've given considerable money to citizens' advice. And then maybe finish off, even though it's not in the report, just add that I have asked for Orchard Road pavement to be on, it should have been on the pavement repair resurfacing list. I've asked for it so many times. I have done that again today and gone higher up the food chain. I did, in response to the questions about Back Lane, I don't know when the previous logs on the Cambridgeshire reporting site disappeared, but there weren't enough reports on there, so I've populated it to death. And
they just disappear.
I know.
And they go away. And
yeah.
What's the point in continuing reporting the same thing over and over if they're just going to ignore it?
Exactly. So I put on a whole bunch of new reports, and I kind of flooded the department with them last night. The when you exit Back Lane into Royston Road, that whole splay has now been added to the patch work list. Anyway, that's...
They've just been and done that. It's just a little tiny bit.
No, I mean, anyway, I just wanted to say that I've made a nuisance of myself and done a lot of reporting.
Councillor Travis. Thank you. Just reverting back to citizens' advice, Susan. We have regular citizens' advice surgeries here.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering if there's anything that we need to actively do in order to make sure that that service gets funded.
So, and I thank you for mentioning that. An unfinished piece of business on this is I think that that's Cambridge citizens' advice, whereas downstairs is North Hearts.
Yeah,
and
it is, yeah.
North Hearts actually gets a lot of funding from South County District Council.
Okay.
And I think they're pretty well looked after, but I will check.
Yeah.
I will check.
Thank you.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Any questions for our county councillor?
Will you excuse me? It's one annual parish meeting tonight, so
okay.
I have to go and
thank you.
Give a report. Thank you.
Thanks for the report. Thanks for your attendance. Thank you. All right, moving on to item PC 233-24, finance matters. And item A, receive and consider the financial reports for March 24. They are obviously within your packs. I'd say the numbers are still looking very good at the moment. If anyone's got any questions for our RFO. Okay, thank you. We'll move on to item B, to consider approving invoices relating to PCN at the hub. The first item is for a sum of £37.50, and this is for room rental. This is the money that we sit on at the moment. And also just a note that this invoice was made out to Sophie Marriage, who no longer works for us. If that could be amended, please. It's just a minor adjustment. Unless there's any questions, can I have someone to propose payment of the £37.50? That's Councillor Cowley. Second, please, Councillor Wilson. All those in favour? And that is carried with two abstentions. And moving on to the second item, which is again room rental. and that is for £1,590. And again, this one has been correctly invoiced to Melbourne Parish Council. Unless there's any questions, can I have someone to propose that? That's Councillor Barnes. Seconded, please. Councillor Cowley, all in favour? And that is passed with two abstentions. Thank you. So that's those two done. Thank you very much for that. Now moving on to item C, to consider approving the annual payment to Royston and District Community Transport from the S106 monies. This is part of the £50,000 which we will pass, which we caretake or have in escrow, and we pay out annually £5,000, which saves money coming out of the grant applications on the S137s. So unless there's any issues here, there will be. Can I have a proposal, please, to accept the payment? That's Councillor Travis, and seconded Councillor Kilmurray. All those in favour? And that's a unanimous carry. So we'll move forward. I think we've still got quite a few more years to go on that. That's quite good. All right, now, excuse me. Moving on to item D, to consider approving the approvals list for April 2024. And again, it's rather small. Might be bigger on there. Unless anyone has any issues, I only saw this tonight when I got here, so I need to scroll through it as well. Can't see anything that's untoward. I think it was all. That's fine. Was that gatekeeper? No, sorry, I missed that. Because yeah. I know I'll get a phone call if it's not. No, I just thought I saw it. Is it there?
Yeah.
Yeah, got it. Sorry. I do apologise. Right, unless anybody's got any questions or queries with the payments, could I have someone to propose, please? That's Councillor Wilson, seconded, please. Councillor Barnes, all those in favour? And could I have two volunteers to release the payments within the next 24 hours? Anybody want to volunteer?
Yeah,
tomorrow. Councillor Cowley and Councillor Kilmurray, that's fine. I'll have a go at it. Okay, thank you very much, you two, for supporting that. Moving on now to item PC 234-24, bank reconciliations. To note bank reconciliations for March 24. I know Councillor Davies not here tonight. Have they all been received?
Done. There were two notes for the RFO to look at this week.
So that's all up to date. Yeah. Thank you. Moving on swiftly to PC 235-24, governance. Item A, to receive the first part of the internal audit report from Capel and receive the clerk's report and actions. I will pass to the clerk if you'd like to give us an update, please.
Just a very quick summary of the notes from the audit. First part of the audit is reviewing the standing orders which will come to the meeting in May. Register of interest, we will redo in May for everybody, although we don't do it for everybody. The risk management policy, it was noted that ours are split through different subjects, and the auditors suggested that we bring them all together in one large risk management policy. So we're going to look at that, but not bring it to you until we've understood it, because it's a bit of a monster. The budget, going forward, the budget will be
I know I may have said this before, but you don't have to accept what the auditor says, you can challenge it.
No, that's why we're going to look at it, because we've got it quite nice separated out, but they struggle to find things and that other people may struggle to find them, but we're just working through that.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you very much. The budget will have a separate item on the website going forward instead of within the notes. We'll create a data breach log, we can create that. We've started to review the privacy policy and we'll look at that as part of a wider website project going forward. The policy review document, we've very wonderfully safely pulled together the policy review document that we've proceeded to ignore due to time constraints and
not quite getting our head around it, so we're bringing that back in and just looking for a better way of us doing that and making sure we get it done. No more double-sided minutes, because I got told off. And we'll be adding the approvals to the minutes in the minute book.
Oh, very ridiculous.
It's not green, is it? But that's our report of what's happened so far, and then we're waiting for the next part of the audit, which will be the 5th of June.
Just out of curiosity, what's the reason for having to print single-sided and not two-sided?
A man in a book, yellow book, said it a very long time ago that it should be like that. But we ignored it because we're green.
Another point, when you come to the policy review again, I mean, it might be worth considering extending the review date so that it reduces the work.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's in their control to decide how many years it is before you review. It doesn't have to be a very short time.
3.
Thank you.
I'd just like to say that I think the overall, there's nothing of any negative nature really within the report, and the auditors were quite pleased with what's going on. They like the control of the processes and reading through the documentation, so it's all credit to the office for keeping us on the straight and narrow, so thank you for that. So moving on to item B, to note the second internal audit visit will take place on the 5th of June. That's just an update, and then we'll get the final report. Moving on to item C, to consider the draft calendar of meetings for forthcoming civic year. I don't think there's any issues with that, unless anyone's got anything that causes a problem. I think it should be. It's all lost the page. Sorry, your controls. Anyway, it's in there somewhere. I did read it earlier. Oh, there it is. Yeah, BC 235-24C. Does anybody have any questions or queries with regard to this? I think it's we've adjusted it accordingly based on people's comments over the last couple of meetings anyway. So, okay, so if there's no issues, can I have someone to propose to accept dates, please? Okay. Councillor Cameron-Gathan, and seconded, Councillor Barnes, all those in favour? You've got to carry on that. So that's good news. Okay, so we move forward on to that. Item D, to note the importance of informing clerks of absence from meetings as soon as possible to allow time for substitutes to be arranged if necessary, and to list volunteer substitutes for planning and maintenance. Yeah, we had a close shave on the planning meeting, we were not going to be in quorum. So I think it's important that if people could advise as soon as you know. Obviously, if it's something like Councillor Hart didn't know until tonight, about a medical issue for my mother. Yeah, those sort of things will crop up. But also, I think clerks are going to look to make some sort of call lists. I think we did discuss this a while ago, but I don't think it ever came to fruition. About the main committees, obviously not this one, but planning and maintenance. So basically, people will be prepared to step in and make up a number so that we remain in quad. The office will be getting in touch with people looking for support on that. Okay. Right, to receive any further updates, but there's anything else on governance, is there no? Maintenance matters. Right, moving forward, to note the approval by Chair to proceed with Cambridge Asbestos quote for asbestos testing in the Moor car park. For those that were not aware, well, most people are aware that we've fenced this off for the last 10 years. This piece of grass, and we're now getting very, very close to actually making it a proper car park area. But it was deemed sensible to actually check for asbestos in the area because of when the drains were done in the main car park area for Little Hands. Asbestos basically scrap, basically hardcore, was identified and had to be removed, so there was a belt and braces job to check this. And lo and behold, asbestos, Cambridge Asbestos have confirmed that there is asbestos in this grass area. In fact, it's probably in everywhere in Melbourne, Mildreth anyway due to its close proximity to a asbestos works, and that was sold off as hardcore anyway, wasn't it, years ago?
Yeah, I think so if you dig down a foot anywhere in the village, you'll hit asbestos.
But on the basis that it was identified in the car park when the drains were done, it was deemed to be the appropriate thing to do. And I'll come on to that when we talk about the car park a bit later down the list. But I signed off on that to pay for that work to be done with the clerks. Right. Moving on to item B, to receive an update on the asbestos survey, which basically I've just done to confirm that there is asbestos in that area, but that was suspected anyway. Item C, to consider quotes for remedial works to the Moor car park. Now, you'll see within your packs there's an email from Melbourne Parish Council, Little Hands Car Park reinstatement, the general information and clarification. This was very kindly put together by Councillor Wilson so that the people tendering for the jobs would be working off of the same spec. Now, we had four companies were approached for this work. It was RC Carters, the company that actually undertook the drainage work for Little Hands. Cobbs, a local provider, Curtis, a local provider, and Summit Groundworks of Cambridge. And you'll see within your packs there were four quotes there. The cheapest being $15,000, the most expensive being $24,708. And this is actually to take out the grass down to 250mm and bring it back up again with hardcore and put the meshing in with the stone chip. So it's an area that will not start sinking. It's something that we need to do. We've had accidents over there, a number of accidents. People have tripped over and God knows what. So it's taken a long, long time to come this far. Before I go any further, Councillor Cowley?
No, actually, you carry on. I don't want to preempt anything.
Okay. So what we've done, we've gone out with these four quotes, and obviously you can see from that Curtis and Cobbs sort of pretty much fit the cost. Those two seem to be the lower of the two. Do you want to step in before I finish, Councillor Gilmurray?
I want to comment on that, which I suspect is what Councillor Cowley was going to comment on.
Well, one is plus VAT, one is inclusive.
Yeah, it makes a big difference.
Absolutely. Yeah. But they would still be...
Can we not get that? Can we not? That should really have been put up of comparison with or without VAT.
Okay. We can do numbers with that. So you've got are all four of them there? How old are they?
Well,
cost,
that's Carter's.
Carter's was plus, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then you've got Cobbs. Oops. Sorry, Councillor Kelly.
Forgive me. I may be mistaken or confused, but I don't think we've decided to do this work yet. The last time this was raised in a full parish council meeting, I raised this issue that it was being presented as a, we are doing this, here's a quote. And it was noted by full council that we had not actually had a discussion about whether or not council agreed
tonight's
to this
meeting,
work
was
necessary.
Tonight's meeting is to decide whether we go ahead, because we've now got quotes, it's tangible, we know the situation, and there's arguments for and against, but we will, if we take the fencing down and just leave it as it is, we will have to do something over there because it is a hazard. Once the ground starts to sink with cars on it, it becomes a hazard, and we have had elderly people fall over.
So could we therefore break this down and have a discussion and a debate about whether or not council thinks that this work is required, and then we can look at the quotes, or we can look at, I suppose we can look at the value of the quotes and factor that into the decision.
Well, that was the point. It was pointless in really sort of trying to have a discussion before we actually knew what we were looking at financially. Because if we were looking at £2,000, we would just go ahead and do it. If we're looking at 50, there will be a completely different conversation. So What we have actually got is four quotes, of which two of them cut in quite reasonably. The, I think, 15,000 one, which includes that, is probably the cheapest. It will be the cheapest. The discussion now, at this point, is having looked at the spec, looked at the area concerned, do we believe this work should go ahead? If we don't, we're going to have to do something with the area anyway, because we can't just leave it as it is. And we're going to look, to be quite honest, we've masked the area off for the past 6 months. And then just to take the masking away and just leave it back as it was makes us look a little bit silly anyway. Councillor Travers to start.
My feeling is that this is a project that is worth doing, and I think it rationalises the space which is outside of Plan's nursery and makes a coherent space for parking cars, which currently is a kind of mixed, well, we all know what it looks like, but it's kind of mixed territory where you've got some pretty rough concrete and you've got some very, at this time of the year, very soggy grass which gets abused when cars park on it. So I think there is a case for doing this, there's no doubt about that. My question was not, I wasn't really questioning whether we should consider doing it. I was going to say these costs do not include removal of the spoil and the cost of the asphalt.
I haven't got to that part of my.
Okay, but they really should all be part of the same.
Well,
cost.
If I'd have sort of not been rude, if I'd have gone right the way through the process, I would have got to that before opening it to the floor.
Okay.
But that will be included. Councillor Cowley.
Thanks. My current feeling is I don't think this work should be done. It's a large capital outlay, and as far as I can tell, because I don't think it's been presented to council particularly clearly, the problem that we are trying to solve, or the problem that we think is apparent, is that cars are parking on grass and it's soggy. Could we not just stop cars parking on grass instead of spending £15,000 of taxpayers' money on putting down some gravel? Like, can we not just put some boulders along the edge of the grass to stop cars parking on it, for example?
That was mentioned, I believe you mentioned it before, and yes, of course, that is an option. It could be, if council decides that's the approach to take, then that's the approach we take. However, what we are finding at the moment, the way the car park is marked out and taking that area out of the equation, it's becoming very, very difficult for cars to park at the angles. We've lost something in the region of 12 to 14 parking spaces. Now, that might not seem a lot in the bigger scheme of things.
Sorry, how have we lost them?
Because that area is cut off. They used to park along the fence line.
On the grass?
Yeah, you can get 12, you can just get 12, I think, and one or two sitting forward. And if you play it out properly, you've basically lost getting close to 10 or 12 parking spaces. That might not seem like a lot, but you probably guess I'm on the side of getting it done, so obviously I'm going to be coming as an individual councillor with that approach. So apologies if it seems a bit one-sided. But you've got, on a Saturday and a Sunday, and also sometimes in the evenings, it becomes almost impossible to drive up and down the moor because of the way cars are parked. Now, a dozen cars parked as close as you can get to that area means that pavements, corners, turnings, all sorts of things are parked on. You can't bollard it, you can't put cones out because they just get moved. It becomes an absolute nightmare area to navigate for residents, and residents have complained on numerous occasions about parking down there. Then you've got the issue of the more cars that park on that area, the more it's going to sink, because all it's held up with is just a bit of grass and earth until you get down to the rubbly area, which is quite a way down. And that leaves you with the issue of health and safety issues, and we have had people falling over, tripping over, elderly people getting out of cars, tripping over, and as we've been made aware of that, we have really got one or two options. We, as you say, Councillor Cowley, we fence it off completely, so we move the fence line completely, just have the fence moved, or we do something to stop cars parking on it. Leave that gate in the corner permanently locked so it never gets open, so no one's ever going to need to go that way. Or we do the work, which partly helps alleviate some of the issues you get with, one, the angle and place, the way cars get parked in there now because of the wedge shape. As you can see from the diagram, it's a peculiar shape and it just makes a nonsense of, if you look at, I don't know if you've got the example that was put together by Councillor Wilson in your packs, but it's not a very clever angle. It's a cheese wedge and it makes it dangerous. So the view was, we looked at this through the asset reserve and saw this as possibly an opportunity, or through general reserve, which again we haven't decided. And this would alleviate some of the traffic issues down the moor, and it would alleviate the issues for health and safety. Now, this is an open debate on this subject. I have got a personal view on it. I think it would be tidy if it was done. It is costly, I agree, but it's an eyesore now. And it's never looked proper, and it does sink down quite badly in that area where that red car is. You can see where the wedge comes down to where the black car is, and you do lose quite a lot of space there. And if you go down there on a Saturday or a Sunday when there's bowls and football, I mean, it's an absolute nightmare in there. People are parking all over the place, and they're even blocking the entrance into the play areas because they can't find anywhere else to park, which is a health and safety thing. We ask them not to, we put signs out, but they still park across it, and they double take it as well. So you could have two cars parked up against the gate. So it's just a messy situation, and this is a way to alleviate it. Councillor Barnes first.
Sorry, Councillor Travis.
I'm just wondering why we didn't put it in the precept, because this is basically a new project, and it's not, you know, I've said this before when it came up before, and it's not something that really should be paid out of asset
reserve,
because that's really should be reserved for maintaining existing assets. Rather than building new ones, and the logical way of dealing with this would have perhaps been to put it as a proposal into the precept, in which case it would be new capital, which would be approved as part of the precept.
Okay, the reason I believe we didn't precept for it was because this would have pushed the percentage increase in precept quite considerably higher, and based on everything else that's going on, we did not want to go into serious numbers.
Well, I understand that, but then presumably we've made some allocation within the precept to top up the asset reserves, which wouldn't have been necessary if you'd have planned to take
We're moving on to another subject now, but the asset reserve, the idea was that we would try and keep it balanced at around 100, drop it down to, this is when Councillor Cowley was on the Finance and Legal Governance as well, we wanted to keep it centred around 100, drop it down and then build it back up to 100. Now there will be jobs coming out, or items coming out this year, and there's potential for work on the hub, there's potential for work on the pavilion, there are other things that are going to eat into the asset reserve this year, so we've already set ourselves at funding the replacement for that, and at the early stages, it was looked at mostly by myself, but I think other people were involved. That possibly, as this was bringing the car park up to, shall we say, a standard, it was repair work on a car park, because that is a car parking area, and until you pass the comment, Councillor Travis, which is very valid, I saw this as potentially coming out of asset reserve as opposed to general reserve, but that is a secondary discussion. So we're really sitting here now. We haven't finished the conversation because on top of the cost, we are potentially looking for something in the region of up to £10,000 to remove the asbestos. It could be a lot less, but what my proposal was going to be, if this got to the point of voting for it, was that we would source through Colts and Curtis. They would, I'll pass to Councillor Wilson to explain the documentation. We would want to see their documentation, which Councillor Wilson can explain why, and also how much they would charge on top to get rid of the asbestos, because both of these two were not overly phased too much by the costs, or not too much, sorry, these two were not overly phased by the asbestos, whereas Summit and Carter's were. So they would obviously look into remove it, but we would have to see certain paperwork, which I could just ask Councillor Wilson to explain, the CDM stuff.
There's a sort of set amount of compliance that's attached to any building works, regardless of what size or what you're doing. It comes under CDM. My worry with the smaller values that are there is their initial nod to taking it away. With the asbestos thing that was included in the car, in the
not was it, there's no asbestos included.
There's nothing in the
those crops, no, because that's that came to light after.
Yeah, so that's fine. So in order for the compliance of these guys, it's CDM stuff, and they've said, I mean, that was mentioned in the pack as well, that they were going to be compliant across that. So I mean, I'll check it when it comes in. And or we can go over it together and just make sure that it's set.
So before I pass back to you, Councillor Kelly, is that just to give you a framework here, it will be a case of we vote on reducing to Cobbs and Curtis, to go back to them and say we want to see your CDM, and also we want to know the cost additional to your quotes to remove the asbestos, and then the office can make a decision based on those two quotes as to which one they were to go with. So that would be what we would look to vote for at the moment. However, if there is a counter view, which is just spend a couple of grand on putting some boulders in there and stop cars parking, and that's what council wants to do, then this gets dropped and that's what we do. But there is a counter argument, as I've explained, so it's really open to the floor now. Councillor Travis.
Well, I mean, I think the cost of this is uncertain because of the asbestos removal problems. So I don't see how we couldn't possibly vote on it tonight, because we don't actually have a cost. The cost variance, which is sort of embedded in this, is too great for us to vote on that. It's thousands of pounds, I suspect. Coupled with the fact that it's turning into a big project, this, in terms of cost, which is basically being drawn from reserves, if we do it at all, because it's not in the reset. I just feel very uncomfortable with it, to be honest. I think we should. I absolutely no problem in going back to Cobbs and Curtis and finding out what their total cost would be if they provide the service of getting rid of the asbestos as well. No problem with that at all. But you're going to end up with more than £20,000 worth of spend, which is out of budget, really.
Mm. Well, it's not out of budget if you actually look at the asset reserve, which is where we were looking to take it from initially anyway. That's where it was going to come from, because that is part of our property. We own it, we have to manage it and maintain it, and the choice is we either bring it up to a spec that is acceptable and can take another 10 to 12 cars, or we fence it off and it just becomes a flower bed. We just put flowers over there and make it look a pretty area on the side, because if you don't do something and also boulder it off or fence it off, then the cars will just go on it. they will do what they used to do, and they will be, and it will sink. So, Councillor Cowan.
I agree in large part with what Councillor Travis said on concerns and things. Having said that, one of the, to my mind, part of the point of having a reserve is it helps you to smooth out the precept, so you don't have to put the precept up by 20,000 this year and then take it back down next year, or whatever. You use the reserves to kind of smooth that thing out. I have deep concerns that the asbestos is going to push the cost of this up a lot.
Oh, it's not really true.
5 years ago, it cost me nearly £4,000 to have 3 sheets of asbestos plasterboard stuff removed from my kitchen. You're not going to get that for 10 grand. Yes, asbestos is really expensive. I cannot imagine this is going to be.
Well, we do know that when the pipework, the drains were done by Carters, I think it was the asbestos clearance cost an extra, was it 15? £1,800. That was clearing basically a skip load of asbestos.
This is 120 square metres.
Oh, yep. Totally understand. We're only going down 250 mil. We're not going down 300-400 mil. So it's only a top line anyway.
So that's 30 cubic meters, yes, which is about 100 tons or more.
It's going to be a grab lorry.
But
the thing is, at this stage, that was an unknown. It's taken so long to get this far with this thing. And that was an unknown until, obviously, the car park was repaired and we realised that there was asbestos down there. And we thought, well, the decision was taken, we'll belt and brace this, do it properly, we will get it checked out. Because we could have just ignored it and let them dig it up, and suddenly we get a phone call, you've got an extra 10 grand bill. So let's check it out first and know what we're dealing with. So it wasn't being done lightly. It's really a decision. It's really a decision as to what we want to see over there. I think what I'm after at the moment, I'm obviously not going to get a clearance here tonight. It's, are we prepared to go back to Cobbs and Curtis to say we want to see the CDM, both of you, and also how much would you charge on top of the bill that you've already, so the quote that you've already given, to remove the asbestos. Then we have to bring it back to council. It's unfortunate, it's going to have to go to next month because we can't do this on an email vote. There's no point, because it needs to be discussed properly, because it is a big number. But it's, do we have agreement to go to Cobbs and Curtis, get the CDM paperwork from them, get that reviewed by Councillor Wilson, and also find out how much additional cost will be on top of the two quotes there. As you can see, one's 12,500, one is 16,800. They're the two that we would probably go back to, or we would go back to. And then we can find out and then bring it back next month to council. But if people are going to be adamant they just do not want to spend anything like that sort of money, let's not waste the office's time in pursuing this. Let's knock it on the head and then make a decision if we're going to have to go a different route. But we're going to look a little bit silly having fenced it off for about 9 months and then just to take it all away. And I think if we did, knowing who goes over there and talking to some of the drivers, if we suddenly fenced that area off, we would have a lot of complaints. If we just fenced it off and did nothing with it, we would have a lot of complaints from the people that use that car park. But Councillor Wilson.
I would say that we're probably, it's not going to hurt just to send one more email off, just to gather, at least so that we've got all the information that we need. We're going to review it again at another meeting. So if we can just check that their compliance is in order, that's fine. That's an easy fix.
And the tonnage.
None of them are going to have any of the necessary paperwork to remove themselves, so they're only going to go to a company that we've already used. They'll put their overheads and profits on the top end of that, and it'll push it up. They won't get it any cheaper than we can get it. But it's, so I wouldn't I mean, I wouldn't worry too much about that, but if you want to run that course, feel free.
I agree, we need to get a full quote to see how much actually totally it costs for future if you want to work. But I live on the moor, so I can't comment on why it's important. But is there any rules, ground regulation, how a car park should be? Isn't there something? Or is there no rules and regulation how a car park should be?
It's not a car park we charge for, so it's not anything that's got to be regulated that way round. But you can go to a lot of different places and you can park on grass. You know, there's loads and loads of places where you just drive up. A lot of the National Trust places are, you just go and park in a field. You know, we can do that. We can park the cars, I believe, like we do on the old wreck. You know,
I'm surprised there will be some sort of regulation what standard a car park should be. It should be for this sort of nursery, you should have this many car parks, it should be the structure. Can't have this sort of material. I'm just asking.
Yeah, I mean, there is. This is a little bit of a grey area because it's an existing, once it's been existing for a while, it sort of falls under. So once you start mucking around with it, then you've got to bring everything up to regs. But for that particular building, I can certainly get the information back to you. But yeah, you've got an allotted number of bays for little hands that would be, which they would exceed by probably double what they've got there. But it's a shared space as well. It's just as soon as you start doing some of the remedial works, you've then got to hit, you know, what's in the pack there, which is the decks and the...
Not only for that little hand, but if you think there's a pavilion, there's football clubs, there should be sort of rules to say if you have this much capacity coming in and out of this place. I don't know, I'm just asking to say
it's the space is there and we use that space. You know, if it was a bigger car park, we'd use a bigger car. It's what's available, it's what's always been used, so there's a lot of history there. But there's a lot of heavy trucks and all sorts of things come over there at the weekends, and it does sink quite badly when the weather is wet. So it's just a case of trying to bring it up to some form of scratch or to some sort of standard that's going to be acceptable, mm-hmm. and it's going to be less risky to people walking around. And that's the only reason, that's the only justification for it. There's no other ulterior motive. Councillor Barnes.
I think it just seems like an awful lot of money. I mean, I'm just reiterating what other people have said, really, but it seems an awful lot of money to solve a problem that seems to affect not many people in the village. In terms of, I know if it's a hazard, there might be for people coming from the bowls club or whatever. Not many people in it. If there's a way of putting that right, I think we can't be motivated by having fenced it off or looking silly or making people cross, because if we spend an awful lot of money, that's going to make people cross for other reasons and maybe more valid ones actually. You know, I think we need to look really carefully about spending money, in particularly in this day and age when people are, you know, when it's a, you know, kind of people have money problems. And it just seems extravagant.
Good point. Councillor Cowley?
I mean, we absolutely should go back to these quotes and ask for how much they will charge to get rid of the asbestos. I would like it to be a relatively firm quote, rather than one where they're just going to go, oh, when it turns out, actually, yeah. And I know that's not always possible. You can't get an absolute firm thing, but
it would be based,
say, asbestos is expensive, get rid of
it,
and this
based,
is going to balloon.
It would be based on 250 mil down,
yeah,
and along, and that will be it. And then, because then the hardcore comes in and goes,
yeah,
on top, and that's they would have a defined weight,
yeah,
to remove. That will be very, very clear.
Rough estimate, it's about 100 tons, which is going to be expensive. I think this is too expensive for a project at the moment. I echo what Councillor Barnes says. I mean, like, we can take down fencing we've got and we can put something else there. We're not going to look silly we're not going to get complaints because it's currently fenced off. If we put something else there to stop people parking, that's just continuing the same. My favourite option would be to buy a ton of topsoil or whatever to fill in some of the deeper holes that we think are causing problems, put some decorative logs or boulders down, and leave it as is, because I think that's what people are used to. Granted, people are used to historically parking on grass.
So you're saying effectively fence off the area from parking?
Not fence it. What? Because I don't want a fence there.
Boulder it off.
Yeah, do put down something low level that cars can't drive over. Boulders, logs. You know, go to a National Trust car park and they've got kind of logs along there, or something like that. Something that natural fits in with the environment. I appreciate, I go down more on a Saturday morning to use the sports centre, and parking down there is an absolute bleeding nightmare. I think that is partly our own doing for making sport so popular down there, but we do have a lot of use of those fields, and obviously there's a lot of concentrated usage, especially with the 4G pitch at the school now, which has massively increased the number of soccer mums down there.
They have their own parking out the back, but
it's school, no, it's completely full. One of the reasons why you get so much parking more is because the parking in the school isn't sufficient for all the people that are using the sports centre. I think we should get some quotes back. I think they'll be eye-watering, and my feeling or recommendation is that we should just cordon that area off in some fashion and leave it be, because asbestos is weird. One of the quotes in there basically says, if there's asbestos, this is a non-starter.
But we don't want to publicly, we don't want to scare the public and say we've got asbestos.
It's on the audio.
Well, yeah, but you don't want to make it.
We're not going to make it public as such. No, we're not going to hide the fact if someone asks. We're not going to put up a sign saying warning asbestos. We're just going to put some stuff down because the grass is very wet and we're trying to stop people parking on it. That is the start, and it can be the end of it.
So you say grass, but I think we are looking at probably spending £2,000 or £3,000 in doing something along there to make it look presentable, maybe flowers and grass, something like that, make it a...
Can we not leave it as the grass that it is? Fill in a couple of holes, put some logs along?
And presumably we would leave the gate shut at that end so people don't troop off the car park, trip to go in there to go through the small gate at the back.
Why? Foot traffic isn't damaging that grass?
It was people tripped.
It's a grassy area. I mean, if there are some big holes there, you can fill them in with a ton of bag of topsoil.
Good point. Councillor Murray. No, we'll move on quickly after this. I think, thank you very much for your time on this one. I think it needed to be aired.
Certainly we need to get a quote for the asbestos removal. As mentioned by one of the quotes, that will probably make it a non-starter. This sinkage and rutting and so forth seems to be a fairly recent phenomenon, because I've been parking there as Elizabeth was growing up, and there's always parking on the grass, never a problem.
It was reported by members of the Bowls Club where elderly people took a flyer.
Well, perhaps they shouldn't walk on the grass. I'm not at all worried about looking silly. I think we would look even sillier if we were to spend £30,000 on a few square metres of car park, which is what it might turn out to be. I with Councillor Cowley on chucking a bag of topsoil on and filling in the ruts. Just put some logs along the edge, reseed it.
Okay, that's good. Alright, okay.
For the number of cars that are parked down the mall, putting 12 more of them into the car park is going to make no difference at all.
It would help, but I get your point. I do get your point. Okay, so thank you very much for that. Nice open debate. So, if I can ask the office if we could get Alex to basically contact Curtis and Cobbs ask them if they could confirm how much they would charge. Just say that, you know, we are still looking at this, but we're looking at costs now. We want to know how much they would do it, and also if they will be kind enough to submit their CDM paperwork to the office. And then we will bring that back to this committee next month, and by the sounds of it, we will be making a decision to do zilch. However, what I would like to do is close it off next month, if that is possible. So can people come with ideas as to what we should do with the area if we don't pursue this, if council doesn't wish or has the appetite to pursue this financially, if they could come up with the ideas of what we should do with that area? Because I think just leaving it as just a bland piece of grass like that, you know, we could do a little bit to make it a little bit more presentable. And if it's just putting some logs across the front and maybe some wildflowers in there, something like that, that might be a nice thing, with a couple of small trees, just to make it look a little bit more presentable as an area, because it's a nice sort as it is. But that's just a thought. So people could just bring that back to the next meeting. Councillor Travis.
Without wanting to delay this anymore, I think we could ask the office to look at costs or various remedial steps other than what we were looking at before. But also, in addition to asking COPS and whatever, their own inclusive price, we should go to Cambridge Asbestos and ask for a separate price, because that's probably going to be lower anyway.
Yep, that's a good point. Okay, we could do that. Right, so that will be for next agenda. And again, as Councillor Travis said, which is a good point, if the office could look at other remedial works that we could do over there, maybe come up with some options, and we can have a small discussion on that and then make a final decision next time round. And then we'll close the matter off. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Is that okay with everybody? Yeah. Thank you very much. Healthy debate. Thank you very much. And sorry for the time on that. I do apologise. Right. We will move off item D. I think we'll leave the idea of general and asset reserves till next month. We'll be debated then. Receive any further updates on maintenance issues? Is there anything? Nothing else on maintenance, is there, Councillor James? No. Okay, our planning matters, PC 23724, item A, to receive report from the clerks in attendance of recent planning meeting with the Greater Cambridge Planning. Have your eyes been open?
It's a very full day. But it was good to meet that we should be dealing with, and for them to know who we are on the end of an email bugging them. Turns out we do most of the things right, so we use a consultee inbox. We have the most impact with our comments because we're using the right terminology. We're referencing the plan and things. Some of the highlights took away were really strong push for every parish to do a neighbourhood plan, mainly because they want to use it to build their plan that they have been working on for the last, I think, 6 years, but now the government have moved the goalposts, they've now got to create a different plan, so they want us all to do the work for them. Huge undertaking, and everybody in the room groaned when it was mentioned, so I don't know how that one feels. One kind of highlight was when they noticed how hard it was for them to actually reject an application, a planning application, and the hoops they then have to jump through. So all the objective that we do, you know, doesn't have an awful lot of weight, just because it's really hard for them to object to most of the applications that come past them. So that's interesting. They encourage us to remember permitted rights of parish council land when we're doing things, and not to worry so much about planning. So basically, go ahead, do what you like. And then ask for forgiveness later, which I found quite interesting. And the other thing was always talk to developers. So we recently had a contact from Callahome. So the big takeaway was always engage with them. Doesn't matter what the parish thinks, what the community thinks, always engage with them from the very beginning, and just make sure we're talking to them from the start.
you don't have to like what they're doing, but just make sure they're talking to you, because if they stop talking to you, you need to worry, because they can still go ahead and do these things. So it's just interesting to keep those chains of communication open, and that's what we've got to do.
Okay. Any questions? Okay, thank you very much, and thank you very much for attending that. Item C, any other updates, anything you wish to...
Item B,
I do apologise, to note completion of works completely closed, Orchard Gardens area, work signed off and invoiced, the grass seems to be growing, the fence is straight, and the little Johnny will not stick his fingers in something and break it this time around, because they've made the fences work properly. We've got Harson Cams in to do the work because they are contractors. We want to see the pictures. But they were disgusting.
Sorry, where was this?
This is opposite the entrance to the mall. Opposite the, you know where you go for the kiddies' play park?
No, where the big tyre used to be.
Yeah, right on the road.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, so it's the house is there.
Oh, where they had like the foot gap between the fence and the gate and stuff like that.
And also things were sort of metal was overhanging.
Yeah.
That's all been completely redone, and new glass have been put in as well by our contractors, and Stone Bond are paying for that work because they gave up trying to get their people back. It just wasn't working. Right. Item C.
So we should expect a transfer document imminently for that.
Ah, yes, the TV. Yeah, we have had, I have been advised by one of the residents that someone's been out mowing all of the grass and doing stuff, but I said, well, we don't actually own it yet. It's still Stone Bond's responsibility, but I doubt very much whether they'll be sending anyone down there to do anything now. So once we've signed the paperwork, our contractors can go in there. Okay, as I said, anything else, Councillor Kilbarran? Okay, thank you. Moving on to Community Hub, PC 23824, item A. To note flooring upgrade requirement in the kitchen, quotes to be obtained. I read Councillor Travis's paper, and I think the office is going to get quotes for the flooring.
Yeah, this came up with the food hygiene inspection that we had, which we cast with light covers, but they picked up the fact that the welds in the kitchen floor are starting to come apart. So we have to replace the floor.
So food traps, and that is part of the parish's responsibility because it's fabric.
Yeah, part of the infrastructure.
Okay, moving on to item B, to note request for spend on replacement chairs. Before I open this up, I have a question on this, just purely and simply. A number of these chairs were bought post the refurbishment, weren't they? A lot of these chairs. Well, they're pre. Because I know there was something going on that the furniture was going to be ordered when all of this work was done, because there was some money left over.
That was in here.
These chairs
you're sitting on.
Ah, it's these ones. It wasn't those ones downstairs.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
They were bought in 2018.
Yeah, 2018.
Ah, okay. So they are a few years old.
Yes.
Sorry, I was thinking they were only 2 years old.
Yes, a proportion of them are showing stress cracking. We've had one or two customers fall off their chairs. Not the drink. It's not the coffee. So we can replace the chairs progressively, but we're going to need to buy some more. We haven't decided how many. There's only one supplier of these chairs now because they're a discontinued line.
Okay.
And we'll come back to you when we know more.
And this is the funds are available for this, are they?
Well, the funds are available for it in terms of the carryover from last year, the grant monies from last year. There was a carryover of about 10,000.
Oh, this is the money that we retained?
Yes. So there was 15,000 from this year's precept, but there's also a carryover of 10,000 from last year's precept. So there's plenty of money to do this.
And is this part of the parish's responsibility for chairs?
We own the chairs.
We own the chairs. Okay. Right. So the only question I would have on that particular subject is, as these chairs have not got a very long life, is it worth bothering to get these ones and not just start to kit out with them?
In order to manage the furniture, the chairs need to stack. if you have two different types of chair, then you've got two different types of stacking. It makes it really difficult to manage. We're only talking about a relatively small proportion of the existing chairs which need to be replaced, but they need to be progressively replaced for safety reasons. In our view, it is wholly the best plan to buy replacement chairs and take the defect lines out of service here. It's going to be cheaper all round, and it's just from every possible perspective, it's the best thing to do. If we replace all the chairs, it'll cost you £10,000. If you don't replace all the chairs, it'll cost you a small percentage of that.
So presumably, this is a non-production line product.
Since we purchased the chairs, they stopped making them.
So it will come cheap. These will come cheaper because they're just going to be.
They'll come cheaper than they would if they were still in production. Yeah.
Fantastic. Okay, so that's a liaison for the office to give, presumably, permission.
Well, I think it should come. It will come back to full council when we know how many we need and when we've sorted out exactly what we require.
Okay. Don't think there's anyone's got any questions on that. Okay, that's fine. Thank you very much. Councillor Thomas. Item C. This is a bit of an unusual one, isn't it? It's this bill of £6,594 has been outstanding for a year.
It's frankly nothing to do with either the hub or the parish council. This was precepted for in last year's precept. It seems to have been overlooked by the supplier community, and they didn't invoice you.
Until we started asking about
it. Until we started saying...
Well, that was silly, wasn't it?
Perhaps it was. I think they probably would have found out in the end. But so, because we prompted them, they suddenly said, oh, we haven't invoiced you. So, it's not money that hasn't been precepted.
No.
Precepted, it just hasn't been paid because they didn't invoice you.
Okay, so this is one where there's no approval.
Yeah,
it's just a case of the invoice is there and it can be paid. Okay, so well, I suppose you've had a year's worth of... just like you didn't spend it on something else. Okay, right. And duly noted, item D, that instead of paying £1,000, we ended up with £190 to replace those tiles. So that was a good job, John.
Brilliant.
It was a bargain, wasn't it?
Brilliant.
Two tiles. So all credit to Councillor Hart for that, wasn't it? Because it was the same roof that she used. Right, item E. Is there anything else you'd like to mention under the hub at this stage?
No.
Okay, thank you very much. We'll move on. PC 23923, health and safety, accessibility and wellbeing. Item A, to note, update on first aid procedures.
And we'll have to defer this because the clock isn't here to go.
Okay, so she's doing that. Okay, that can be deferred to next month. Item B, to receive any other updates and considerations. Are there any, Clark?
Not at the moment, no.
Okay, thank you. Melbourne Time Bank. Item A, to receive the Time Bank's monthly report, which makes very interesting reading as usual. It's a very good report. I don't know if anybody's got any questions for our Time Bank manager. If they have, please pass them forward or submit them to the office. But I think this is going great, guys. Okay, there's nothing there. We'll move on to item B. To note the mental health awareness course being provided by Time Bank. Max Clark's to attend on the 7th of May. I think this is, do you want to briefly comment on this? I know this is being organised by Steph.
Yeah, just an opportunity of growth that we could attend, that the clerk's going to attend, and then look to the possibility of bringing it to council and offering it to councillors to take part in as well, but we'll see what the course is like and then bring it back.
That's good, yeah, I said I'd like to attend that if you're... It's a very good idea, that one. Okay, any questions on that at all?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, moving on to item C. There's no finances this month, is there? There's nothing else to report on Time Bank. PC 24124 to receive an update from the main joint committee. If I can pass the council, Travis.
Only to say that there's a main committee meeting coming up now on the 22nd of May, which will be a very useful occasion, I think, because we're going to have the representatives of both the Connections Bus and the DJ Workshop project present, along with various other representatives from the various parish councils that benefit from May. So,
excellent.
Report to come after that today.
Okay, thank you very much. We'd like to add to that. Okay, thank you. Moving on to PC 242/24 to receive an update Futures Working Party. We're actually having their first meeting reinstated 25th. It's on the 25th of April. It's a quick agenda, but it's just to update on the gateways and also on our village map, which we discussed. And County Council will be providing some information, hopefully, on road markings, mostly double yellow lines parking, that type of thing. And the main focus of the group moving forward, outside of those two or three things, will be to look at road safety around the primary school and around the college, because there's been complaints from down the college, some near misses of kids, cars speeding down there. As you've seen, you know, it's a log jam at school times, and is there anything we can do to reduce the risk, and also around the primary school as well. So that's going to be the focus going forward of the group. Unless there's any questions on that, I shall move on. PC 243/24 to receive an update on Skate Park Working Party. We've got our first revised meeting on the 29th of April. With the terms of reference for that, we would like to bring to this committee just to confirm what we want to do is consist of five councillors, and where we said before up to two, we'd like to change it to up to four members of the public, because we have got interest from at least three people so far that would like to be involved in the Skate Park Working Party. So if there's no issues with this committee, if we could just vote this through, unless anyone's got any issues with increasing. Obviously the residents don't have any voting rights, and Skate Park Working Party can only bring things back to main council anyway, so as a group all we can do is make recommendations as a working party. So unless there's any issues, can I have someone to propose that change? Councillor Cowley, seconded Councillor Barnes, thank you, all those in favour. And that's a carry, so we can amend that, so we haven't got to worry about that at the meeting. We can just do that. And we've got quite a full agenda, so the first of these meetings is going to be here, so that we can all sit face to face and have a good discussion. Because the key aspect of this is going to be the public survey, because we know that there is anti-feeling about this in the village. There is also some positive feeling, so we need to get the message out, and we need to identify whether there is an appetite for this before we start progressing and getting involved and getting companies in to look at things, and then starting to work out the costs and how much money we've got to try and get grant money for. So the first main job is going to be getting the circular out to the public in the village to find out what the appetite is like. Okay, alright, moving on. Sorry, that was item PC 243/24, item A, I've just mentioned, which is changing the terms of reference. Do apologise. PC 244/24, HR matters. That's a note increase in minimum wage for litter pickers from 10.42 to 11.44 from the 1st of April. Although the litter pickers are not employees, they are contractors. This has historically been done. We've kept the litter pickers in line with the minimum wage increase, and that's been done again this time around. So as from April, their hourly rate will go up to £11.44. Okay, I spoke to Councillor Hart, who said that she had nothing else to add to the agenda. I don't know whether Deputy Councillor Travers has anything he wishes to add on HR matters. Okay, thank you. Moving on to policies, PC 245/24 policies. To note that the financial regulations are currently being updated by NALC, Our approval regulations will be reviewed after these have been released. And finally, and I thank you all for your patience tonight, item PC24624 to note the date of the next meetings. The community benefit grant meeting will be held on Wednesday the 8th of May at 7:30, and that is just a one topic agenda, and that's where we look at the S137 monies and look at people's applications. If everybody's happy with it, we'll follow the same approach that we've done before, which will be to just go through, identify whether we're happy to support an initiative, and then go back and look at the numbers after the fact. The next meeting is the annual parish meeting, which will be held on Monday the 13th of May. And then the annual parish council meeting will be held on Monday the 20th of May. And with that, I would like to close the meeting. Thank you all for your patience, and thank you for a very good contribution with regard to the Moor car park. I thought that was a good debate, and hopefully we've seen a way forward. Okay, thank you very much, everybody. Thank you.